to Run With It, Canada's running fitness and health program. On this month's episode, we have a special segment on pelvic health. Check this out.
Joining me is Kim Vopney. She's a certified personal trainer. She's a pelvic health specialist and author, and she's back on the show to talk about pelvic health awareness, what are some myths, and how she balances motherhood. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you. It's nice to be back. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm getting ready for holidays. We've survived this crazy pandemic year so far. But you know, in all honesty, as many challenges that were presented with this year for everybody, obviously making it global, it was, I think, in some ways easier because we all knew that we were not in this alone and it was everybody was going through at the same time. But regardless of the challenges that it presented, it's been really a great year in terms of providing clarity and helping me kind of really hone in on what's important. And I think a lot of people have said that same thing, and that's definitely something that's been true for me. And so I actually am grateful for this year in many ways. And yes, I am looking forward to the hope that kind of 2021 is going to bring for us and opening up the world again. I've certainly missed connection with people and am really grateful for things like this with Zoom, but all in all, I'm doing well and hanging on to the gratitudes that I have kind of recognized from this year.
Yeah. Wonderful. We never talked about motherhood. So how do you balance your family, being a successful entrepreneur, like how do you do it all?
You know, I remember when, before I became an entrepreneur, I worked in human resources. So I had been in fitness for a number of years and I left fitness before I got married, before I had kids and I entered into the world of human resources. So that was kind of my career for a while. And that's where I ended up learning about the Epino product, which is what eventually launched me into becoming an entrepreneur. And it's when I was, I got married, I had my kids. And so I remember though, at the time when my kids were quite young, and I remember working, the team I worked on was actually all women. We were all women. We all had children, and many of them had children who were older than me. And I had kids who were in daycare full time. So I could drop them, at 7 a.m. and I could pick them up at 6:00. Not that I wanted to do that, but that was accessible for me. And I used that many times because my husband's a pilot. So he was away a lot. And we, at the time, were living in Ontario and we didn't have family there. We had moved there for my husband's work. And so that's kind of also what contributed to me going into entrepreneurship, because I recognized that I was dropping my kids, fairly early. I'd go and I'd work a full day. I'd go pick them up. I'd feed them. I'd put them to bed and I'd wake up and I'd do it all over again. And it just sort of seemed like, there's got to be more to this. And then that was sort of where the seed was planted, where it was like, I wonder if I could do something that would allow me to stay at home more. And, but at the time I remember looking at my other colleagues and thinking, oh my gosh, they don't have the luxury of the daycare hours. They're in school hours and both of the parents are working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. How are they balancing that? And I looked at that also and said, I don't know how they juggle it all. I just don't know how they do it. And my husband, because he's a pilot, his schedule is varied. And there are some days where he would be home for 4 days at a time. And so we had some freedom there, but there was also times where he would be gone, not even coming home at night for 4 days as well. And so once I actually got laid off from that job, and that was kind of, again, the impetus in terms of, I had sort of been thinking about being an entrepreneur, and then that was sort of like the decision was made for me. So I just went into it, and that allowed me freedom in my schedule. It allowed me to be in control of the time I spent with my kids, the time that I worked. And so I think that I don't know if balance is ever the right word. I think it's always a bit of a juggle, and there's always a sense of one's taking a priority over the other. And I feel really fortunate to have had the chance to do that. I think that I don't think there would have been as much sense of being able to juggle well had I been in a Monday to Friday 9 to 5 with my husband working his hours as well. So it's really been great for our family. I've had a lot of time at home with my kids. It has allowed us to take advantage of the travel that we have, the travel privileges we have with my husband's work, not this past year, but in general. And so I think And you know, also when we ended up moving back to Vancouver from Toronto, because family, like our family was all here. And I also recognized that I needed some support with that as well. And I wanted my kids to be close to their grandparents and their cousins. And so family's huge, flexibility in my schedule has been huge. And then really the rest of it is just, I try to wake up every morning with a bit of an intention of how I'm going to tackle all the demands of the day. And sometimes other things show up and you just kind of have to go with the flow. So that's, yeah, I don't know, I just do it.
Well, you're so passionate about what you do. I mean, personal trainer, author, pelvic health specialist. I mean, tell us the viewers about raising public awareness. I mean, pelvic health awareness, it is, the word is getting out there. Mainstream media is promoting it or there's education, but is there more awareness needed?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. And it has increased, 1,000-fold from when I first started. So really I got into talking about pelvic health or starting kind of doing what I'm doing now, really about 16 years ago with right after the birth of my first son. And that it was at the time very much a side thing. I wasn't really actively working that hard in it. And it was about 11 years ago when it kind of turned into my full-time thing. And at the time, awareness was very, there was really not a lot of awareness. Social media wasn't really on the scene. We had Facebook, but it was still very, still personal. Twitter was kind of coming onto the scene. So there was a little bit of, you know, use of hashtag. I remember putting in hashtag pelvic floor and, you know, waiting and nothing would come up. And now the past 3 to 5 years has seen an incredible explosion of people talking about it on social media, which is amazing. However, I just received a message from a woman this morning, and she is a healthcare worker herself. And she belongs to kind of my community and a community of a colleague of mine who runs her platform is called Menopause Chicks. And so she said, I have learned more from you, and her name's Shirley, this my colleague, than I have from any medical professionals. And I know how to navigate the system being a healthcare professional. And she said, it's just, there's such a huge void. And I think that it's not the medical community's fault. They have their expertise in pharma and in surgery, and that's their focus. And that is sometimes needed, and sometimes it's the best option, but it's not necessarily, with regards to pelvic health, always the best first line of defense. And until we have more collaboration between, you know, pelvic health professionals and the medical community, or more awareness or recognition in the medical community that rather than trying or getting people on the road of pharma and surgery, let's direct them to pelvic health physiotherapists first. So that's happening a little bit more. And, but yeah, absolutely. We need more of it. And I think we have such a, I'm not going to say completely missed opportunity, but we have a huge opportunity with the medical community really to make a significant change. Cause it still is that usually the family doctor is where people go first, where when something, and usually women, we have some statistics that show women are typically waiting, you know, 6.5 to 7 years with pelvic health challenges before they actually go get help. And then when they finally do, it's usually the family doctor. And I'm hoping that with my work and many of the others, search the hashtag pelvic mafia, you'll find a bunch of different health practitioners around the world. And all of us with a common mission of increasing awareness and increasing options and education and information that's available to women or people, in my case, people with a vulva and a vagina, that's my area of specialty. So that not to take out the medical community, that we need them as part of our healthcare team, but to recognize that we need a team. There are so many different practitioners that can help. And it's about kind of determining which one may be the best for you. Usually pelvic health physio is what I recommend as the first, that's what I recommend as the first line of defense. And they can kind of help direct if it needs to go in some other direction.
Women may not even know how to go about, and this is where you come in. So how do they reach out? I mean, the social media, but what else? Like you also do talks, right? And seminars? Is that?
Yeah. And just quickly on the point with regards to referrals, that in at least in Canada, you don't need a referral to see a pelvic health physiotherapist unless your extended health benefits requires you to have one in order for you to get it covered. But you can make your own appointment and go. And oftentimes there's a bit of a wait, unfortunately, but that is something that you have absolute control over, and you can just make an appointment and go. In terms of how I'm trying to increase awareness, obviously social media is a huge platform for me, for sure. I also have online programs and I share those through social channels. I have a private group on Facebook called Box Talk that anybody with a vulva and a vagina can join and ask and learn and connect with others in the community and talk. So this past year, much of it has been virtual. I'll do webinars or virtual workshops. There's an event that I host called Kegels and Cocktails, which again, we weren't able to host live this year, but we did a virtual one and I'm looking to add a few more live events in 2021, hopefully, fingers crossed. And yeah, so it's really, I try to find groups where the audience is primarily women. And it may be, I speak a lot at retreats. I speak to women's business networking groups. I speak to, later today, I'll be speaking to a group of pregnant people. So there's in Vancouver, we have the South Community Birth Program and they do groups called Connecting Pregnancy Groups. And it's like childbirth education. And I come in as a guest speaker for that. So I try to get involved in the community. And again, a lot of it is online as well, but yeah, wherever I have a platform, I'm going to try to use it.
Yeah, for sure. And you're also an author, right? You have Prepare to Push, which I can see. And so that is getting the word out too. And you have your other two books, right? You have two more, correct?
So Prepare to Push, that one there is the first one that I did. And that was, I actually initially created it as a workshop. So when I lost my job and when I was all of a sudden in this entrepreneur world, I looked at it and said, okay, I used to be a personal trainer. I'm going to recertify all my fitness and specialize in pre-postnatal. And when I was doing that, I recognized that in fitness, we have a principle called the principle of specificity, which means if you're going to run a marathon, and you know this very well, you're going to run progressive distances. There's going to be a tapering off period. There's going to be a rest period, and then you'll maybe train for another one. And so I viewed birth as very much an event that we should be training for. And so that's kind of how I started as a workshop and turned it into a book. It's now an online program as well. And then as my life was moving beyond, you know, that early prenatal postpartum phase, I recognized women were also coming to me saying, okay, well, I had my babies 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or maybe I've never even given birth, but I have these issues. And so then I kind of broadened my scope to pregnancy, motherhood, menopause, kind of the main life transitions that most women will go through. And that then came your pelvic floor. Now this one actually just recently, almost a year ago, I was approached by a publisher in the UK and they wanted to kind of take that book and expand upon it. So that is going to be re-released through Watkins Publishing in the spring with the title Your Pelvic Floor. And I've taken this one and I've kind of rejigged it and renamed it The Inside Story. And if anybody who's listening wants a copy of either of those, you can get them on my website for free at vaginacoach.com in the books section. And then the other one was a joint effort between myself and my two former business partners. We had formed a company called Bellies Inc. And we were approached by the editors from Human Kinetics, which is a global publishing company that does, you know, anatomy, physiology, fitness, movement type textbooks. And they needed one. And we did, it's called Pregnancy Fitness. So that one's through Human Kinetics. And yeah, so I've written a little bit and I don't know if I'm going to write another book for a while. I think I'll stick to blogs for a while, but yeah.
I see there's so many books there. Yeah. It's wonderful, Cam. And what are some myths could you share?
Oh gosh, there's lots. I think the biggest one is that it's normal, that things like incontinence and organ prolapse and unsatisfying sex or pelvic pain are things that are they just happen because we're getting older. They happen because we've given birth, or, and then on that same note, there's people who have been pregnant and maybe have had cesarean births, and there's a myth that exists that, well, I had a cesarean birth, so therefore my pelvic floor is fine. I don't need any pelvic floor physio or any assistance. And that's also a myth. So those would be I'd say the two most common, that it's normal because I'm getting older, or because I've had babies, or that because I've had a cesarean, I don't need it, or because I've never been pregnant, I don't need it either. So those are a couple of myths. And I think that the more that I actually had a comment the other day, I was posting about pelvic health physio and the importance of it, and the importance of finding a really good physio and seeing them regularly, making it part of your health routine, like we do see the dentist every year. And this woman came and said, you know, if I'm in my late 20s and I've never been pregnant, never given birth, you know, any of that, is it still important for me? And I said, absolutely. It's, if you have a vulva and a vagina, you will be going through hormonal fluctuations. You will have influences of posture. You'll have influences of exercise on your pelvic floor, all sorts of things. And every single one of us is going to go through menopause, which is a significant transition time. And often when things will start to show up. So maybe things that were kind of like sending little messages along the way, like a little bit of back pain or a little bit of leaking, or, you know, kind of like a sensation of, well, things just don't feel the same there. And they were kind of easier to ignore. And then once we hit menopause, then our estrogen levels decrease. And because our vagina and, you know, tissues in our pelvis are so estrogenic, they're so estrogen rich, when we don't have that supply, they start to atrophy kind of and dry up, and then symptoms can sometimes be exacerbated or show up for the first time. So and also I guess one last thing I'll say is there's more to pelvic health than do your Kegels. That's another thing.
Wow. So education is so important, and you're doing that, and social media is, as you said, it's so vital, and what you're doing, your testimonial. And what is next for you? I mean,
I'm excited about the book that's coming out in the spring. And I looked over this past 10 years, and again, you know, reflecting, this year has definitely been a year of reflection and kind of looking at what I had been up to. I had two companies. I formed the partnership Bellies Inc. with two other women. I had my own business. And actually in early on in the pandemic, the Bellies Inc. was actually sold. And that was kind of just recognizing I needed to really prioritize. I needed to focus. I need to kind of streamline. I had too much on the go. And so what's next for me is taking it a little slower, is not, you know, saying yes to everything and becoming very laser focused on the education, the workshops, and the programs that I already have in existence, and getting them into the hands of more people that can benefit from it.
Wonderful. And Kim, is there anything else you'd like to add? Do you have a contest or?
I don't have any contests right now, but I do every month. I run a 28-day program called the Buff Muff Challenge. And it's coming on to 2 years that I've been running it, and it's close to 2,000 women that have gone through it. And it's what I think has been most successful about that program is that people are still learning. And when, you know, as much as I'm out there preaching and yelling, and yes, the awareness has increased, people are still like, you know, what does a vagina coach do, and what exactly, and how's this going to work? And, oh, I've tried Kegels, but they don't work for me. So I think it's a good introduction to my philosophy. It's not expensive. It's very interactive. You have me available to you as a coach over those 28 days. It's done through an app. The time commitment is 10 minutes a day. So it's very accessible for most people. And because of that, and because of kind of the built-in gamification and what have you that the app creators have done for me, it's made it very successful for people. And really, pelvic floor exercise works when it's done correctly, consistently, and coordinated with movement, and kind of incorporates those into it. And so it gives people a different perspective than, you know, go home and do your Kegels. And then from there, people recognize, they see change, and they go, oh my gosh, that didn't really take very much at all. And I feel this, you know, some people don't use pads anymore, or some people are running leak free again. And so it can make, you know, it doesn't take much to make a big change. And so that's usually what I tell people. That's a great place for you to start. vaginacoach.com/buffmuff. The next one starts Tuesday, January 5th. And yeah, so I'd love to have you in there and any of your community and yeah, that's kind of what's next.
Wonderful, Kim. And what about they want to follow you on like Instagram and Twitter and.
Yeah, Vagina Coach pretty much is my handle everywhere. So I'm mainly active on Facebook and Instagram. I have a little bit of a presence on Twitter. It's not my main area. But all of those are Vagina Coach. And again, I have a private group called Box Talk, which I encourage you to join as well. There it is, like people have to kind of answer a few questions. So I don't just let anybody in there. I want to make sure that it's a cohesive group of you know, it's an open, safe space to share, to ask, to learn. And I go live in there every Tuesday with, you know, answering questions that people have. So I would direct people there too. And then vaginacoach.com is my website.
Yeah. And you say the word safe and you have that confidence that it's safe and it's a safe space. That's wonderful. So
yeah, it's not the, you know, I speak very openly and very freely, but that doesn't come naturally to everybody. It is still a topic that can be very difficult for people to talk about for various reasons. And so sometimes just people just come in and they just watch, they don't comment, they don't interact. They're just watching what others. And then eventually they see that this is a place that, you know, it's not public. It's just me. There's a group of women that are experiencing probably the same things as you. And so it gives people, it can help build their confidence and give them some courage. And it, you know, allows them to kind of take the next, or well, the first step off often and find what's going to be most helpful for them.
Love it. Thank you very much, Kim, for
coming
back on the show. I'd like to have you come back. And
yeah. Oh, I always love chatting with you, and you are such an amazing community ambassador for so many different things as it relates to health and wellness. And so I'm really grateful for being asked. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And empowerment, right? And thank you, Kim. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too. Thank you.
Thanks for watching. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, go to our website, runwithit.ca. Until next time, run with it.